And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Wednesday, October 27th. I am Josh Engelman. I am joined by Adam Scher. We are here to break down a 10-game NBA slate. We have a lot to talk about. We're coming in 15 minutes early as well. So while you get here, please hit that like button. Let it be the first thing that you do. Subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. And I got to give a shout out to Prize Picks for being the presenting sponsor of this video. We're going to touch on Prize Picks in a bit. I got a couple Prize Picks for Adam once we get there. But let's just start here. Adam, how was your night last night?
It was pretty bad. I screwed up getting stuff in. I was rushing before lock, so I ended up not getting any of that Knicks Sixers game, which obviously had some good plays. I didn't get to as much of the Lakers stars as I would have liked. That was one where I had said before the slate that I really liked playing them, assuming LeBron was going to be out. But then when he got ruled out and ownership increased, I ended up not getting as much as I should have. It didn't really go that well for me.
Okay. It went well for me. I had a shot, didn't get there. Finished 17th on FanDuel. Best you could hope for is just giving yourself a bullet to get there. Ultimately didn't work out. Thank you, Tyrese Maxey, for being fully incompetent yesterday. Any little bit there would have been helpful, but we're on to the next one, man. We got 10 games to talk about. Interesting salaries across FanDuel. DraftKings, I think, is really difficult tonight. We got a lot of question marks on it, but we got a lot to talk about. We have 10 games to hit on, an hour and 15 to do so. I'm ready to dive in if you are.
Yep.
We're going to start it off. Charlotte Hornets, 6-point favorites in Orlando, 216 total for this one. For Charlotte, we don't exactly know the status of Terry Rozier, but he is doubtful. PJ Washington is out. On the Orlando side, no Isaac, Fultz, Okiki, Etan Moore, Michael Carter-Williams. The Charlotte piece, I think, is very interesting. It worked out quite well to go to some additional Mason Plumlee two nights ago. I'm expecting to do the same thing again on FanDuel at 5,900. But we need to talk about this team a lot because Gordon Hayward is currently projected for 30% ownership on FanDuel. That seems a little high to me. 15% on DraftKings. We've got Kelly Oubre pulling 15 to 20% across both sites. Mason Plumlee is chalky on FanDuel at 25% ownership. How do the Charlotte Hornets look to you against Orlando tonight?
I mean, it's a pretty good spot for them. Clearly, it's not a very good Orlando team. You have a couple of key pieces missing. So Rozier being out opens up a bit more usage for guys like LaMelo and Hayward. Granted, Kelly Oubre takes usage as well. So it's not like you have a zero sliding into the starting lineup. It's not like last year when, you know, Rozier would have been replaced by like Cody Martin, who's a very low usage player. So it's a marginal bump to those guys, but still, you know, a little bit more upside. So I think LaMelo looks good, but the price tag on DraftKings also more or less where it should be, I think. In his last game, he played about 29 to 30 minutes in regulation. That's the biggest issue with LaMelo right now is that you just haven't seen him play really more than like 30 minutes in a game. And he does have a competent backup in Ish Smith. So I guess it's reasonable to think that he kind of just keeps landing in that like 30 to maybe 32 minute range. That's the biggest issue, but he is a really, really good fantasy producer on a per minute basis. Hayward, not the same level of production as Ball, but also less expensive, playing a lot of minutes. So he looks fine. I think the ownership on DraftKings makes sense. And then Oubre played like 37, 38 minutes in regulation. He played huge minutes in the previous, his first start as well in a competitive game. So I think that you can certainly go back there. 5,700 looks like a pretty good price tag. And then Plumlee, like you said, got the minutes bump with Washington out, played about 31 to 32 in regulation. He's someone that I think produces at a higher rate than people give him credit for. He's been like a 1.12 to 1.15 fantasy point per minute guy over the last couple of seasons. So I do think that the increased playing time makes Plumlee look reasonable.
This Hayward ownership on FanDuel has to come down from 30%, right? 6,400. I mean, like I got him projected as like a fantasy point per minute. I don't know why that would make him suddenly a 30% owned guy. He hasn't been good this year, 0.8 per minute so far. So it's not even like that's the baseline. Like I've got him at a fantasy point for this game. I'm not projecting him like he is today. I just don't know why he's getting to 30. That feels so aggressive.
And it seems like the small forward position does have options. I mean, like kind of just looking down the position, Hayward stands out in his price range, but like you have Giannis and Durant at the top. You have Butler. You have Barnes. You have Oubre. Yeah, it seems like it could come down.
Yeah, I don't, I ran a mild crunch just to see, like, if I had to enter contest right now as quick as possible with my current setup, what would it look like? And he's just a flat out, unquestioned, easy fade for me at that ownership. Just there's too many other options around him that I don't think, I just don't really see a situation where he's all that different. Like, Kyle Kuzma is 6,200 and 6% owned. I don't think that these two guys are all that different for today. Certainly not 6% to 30%. Even Nikhil Alexander Walker at 6,100 is 12% less owned. You can go up a little bit higher, go to Tyler Hero in 30 minutes. I don't love it, but he's unowned. I don't like that Gordon Hayward ownership. I hope it comes, well, I hope it stays there so that I can just fade it. I assume it'll just come down.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Anything else here for the Hornets?
No, I think that's about it.
All righty. Well, let's switch it over to Orlando. Unfortunately, we got to pay attention to a lot of Orlando. And I hope that this doesn't become like a theme because I don't want to roster this team a lot. I think we have to, though. Mo Bamba, Jalen Suggs, Cole Anthony, Terrence Ross, all double digits on FanDuel or DraftKings or both. Franz Wagner is in double digits on FanDuel as well. Mo Bamba, probably the most owned guy here, 26% on FanDuel, 16% on DraftKings. I think that's all warranted. So I like getting to Orlando, but getting to Orlando is not going to be a fun experience this season.
Yeah, I mean, they're not a good team. They also run a pretty deep rotation. They played 11 guys last game, but they do have – It's just like a weirdly deep team as far as there are decent fantasy producers, even though they're not an actual good team. So Bamba, you know, gives you a very high ceiling. It's not a bad matchup for him. 6,200 is a very reasonable price tag. You've seen Cole Anthony play well to start the season. 23.6% usage rate, 1.1 DraftKings points per minute. Also a 30% assist percentage. He's been rebounding well. I don't necessarily think the rebounding numbers stay quite as high as they have been since the start of last year. Anthony has a 9.4% rebounding percentage. So still good rebounding numbers for a guard, but you expect them to come down a bit. I think he had like 16 rebounds the other day or something. So that's throwing it off. But yeah, he's going to look pretty good at his price point. He is playing a lot of minutes, played 32 minutes last game, lost about 6 minutes to, or 5 minutes to garbage time. So I think you can go right back there. You mentioned Suggs and Wagner. 5K price tag on Suggs, I think, is reasonable. He has a 27% usage rate so far this season. He's only averaged 0.82 DraftKings points per minute on a 42% true shooting percentage. So we don't, you know, obviously we don't have any sort of NBA baseline on Jalen Suggs shooting, but I would think it's going to be better than 42%. So his production should come up. Wagner's playing big minutes. He has been more aggressive as the season's gone on. Still only a 16.5% usage rate, but he started out basically not shooting at all. He had the lowest usage rate on the team after the first game. So I think he's a decent value as well.
I don't have anything else that I really need to touch on here. Anything else for Hornets or Magic?
How many minutes? Yeah. Terrence Ross at 4,300 is always kind of interesting, but only played 22 minutes last game, and it's a big enough slate that I doubt you really need to go there that often.
Yeah, he's been not ideal as of late. 0.61 FanDuel points per minute so far. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if he's not on the Magic by the end of the season.
Yeah, only an 18.5% usage rate as well.
All right, we will keep this one moving. Your Washington Wizards taking on the Boston Celtics. Wizards 4.5-point dogs on the road, 226 total. For Washington, no Rui Hachimura, no Thomas Bryant, although I believe Rui is starting to ramp up his work. Should be back here in the next week or so. Q-tag on Howell Neto, Q-tag on Romeo Langford. Al Horford and Peyton Pritchard are both probable. We will start on the Washington side. Bradley Beal, 17% owned on FanDuel at just 8,700, 4% owned on DraftKings at 9,200. Beal on FanDuel is the only guy in double-digit ownership on either FanDuel or DraftKings. I, once again, will be playing quite a bit of Spencer Dinwiddie because we have him at 2% owned on FanDuel at 6,800 and unowned on DraftKings. So I really like Dinwiddie as a GPP play. I don't know why he's not getting more ownership, but I'm going to go there.
Yeah, my only issue with Dinwiddie is the playing time. Like, it still seems like he's tracking to basically play 30 minutes a game that in games that don't go to overtime. I think it's good that we saw him exceed that in the overtime game, so at least we know that physically he can. But even Washington's game against Brooklyn, he played 25.7 minutes. Even if you thought he was going to play the entire fourth quarter, and if the game had been competitive, which is reasonable, it would have put him at about 31 minutes. So the price tag's gotten to where I think it probably should be. Like, there's still some upside at 7,100, but if he's only going to play 30 minutes, it's tough for him to really, you know, blow out that price point. So I think he's fine as a contrarian play, but nothing that I'm too excited about. The Wizards in general, I think, are pretty tough to get to on DraftKings. You can always get to Beal at 9,200, but there are some other high upside guards in that price range that we'll talk about that also look really good on this slate. So he does have a 33% usage rate this year. That's to be expected. Obviously no Westbrook. So, you know, Dinwiddie takes some of that usage, but you're just going to see Beal with a very high usage rate all season long. He's going to just give you a really high ceiling. But again, there's just a lot of competition around them. At the center position, you're pretty much getting minutes split between Harrell and Gafford. It seems like Harrell does have the edge in terms of closing games out. We didn't get to see a closing lineup last time because Brooklyn was running away with it, but it has seemed like Harrell has the edge there in minutes with Gafford, but they're both priced up to where I think really they should be.
What's your actual expectation for Dinwiddie minutes today? Just 30 is the baseline?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like 32 is realistic in a competitive game. I think
32 is realistic in the sense that it can happen.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to project 32 because that would basically mean that I think there's a decent amount of times he's playing like 34 or 35.
Yeah. I'm going to bring him down from 32 to 30 until we sort of see it. And that'll still make him, he'll still be a guy that I'm getting to, because I think 2% is just incorrect. Like, I don't think $6,800 Spencer Dinwiddie and $6,400 Gordon Hayward should have a gap between unowned and 30% owned. That's another spot where, like, the Hayward ownership doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. Just, you know, like, hey, I think Hayward's the better option because he's probably going to play like five more minutes.
Right.
But I agree that if you wanted to give me 30-1 odds on, and I get Dinwiddie, I would take it every time.
Yeah. And he's been 1.22 FanDuel points per minute so far this season. Like, he's,
well, you have to,
I know, I understand that has, like, you know, Beal out and stuff, but it's nice to see that Spencer Dinwiddie has come back to basketball and is not problematic off of his knee injury. Like, I think that he's like a 1.1 guy moving forward just in general, but I'm happy that it's not 0.7. And it's like, oh, he's really knocking the rust off of this shit every day.
Yeah, for sure. And Washington is staggering his minutes with Beal, which was expected, but also good to see because coaches don't always do what we expect them to.
What else we got here for Washington? I'm just going to have like little bits of most of these starters. And if I end up with any of Harrell or Gafford, it's just sort of like a, well, I hope today's the day that that's the one that gets 28.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much it. Like, you can go to either of those guys in tournaments. I wouldn't say that you should be prioritizing them, but they have enough volatility in their minutes and they're productive enough players where in the games that, you know, let's say Trez plays 26 minutes or 27 minutes, he certainly can outperform his salary. So their median projections don't really look great at their prices, but there's enough volatility in their minutes. Gafford, I'm a little concerned about from a fantasy standpoint, just because he fit really, really well. What
we talked about this yesterday in DMs.
He fit really, really, really well with Russ. I think you could just see, like, he's still going to be a good fantasy producer, but I think you maybe see a step back from what he was doing last year when he played with Westbrook.
Yeah, I mean, if Russ is going to be out here throwing lobs to DeAndre Jordan, making it look like DeAndre Jordan took a time machine back 10 years, that might have worked out pretty well for Daniel Gafford yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, for the season so far, he's only played 63 minutes, but 0.98 DraftKings points per minute for Gafford. Also, regarding Dinwiddie, I pulled up his numbers in the two games that Beal's been active. 1.04 DraftKings points per minute, 23.5% usage rate, 39.7% assist percentage. I think that all seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah, same. Let's check out the Boston side of this one. For Boston, it's looking like we're going to have basically like their full allotment of guys. Robert Williams is 22% owned on FanDuel at 7,100. I think that's more than reasonable. He's 17% owned on DraftKings, where he's only 6,300. Again, I think that's more than reasonable. Jason Tatum is 9,400 and 9,100 across FanDuel and DraftKings, about 10% owned. That's pretty much where I would expect him to be. The guy that stands out most to me is just an unowned play. If Dennis Schroeder is going to play more than 30 minutes, I'm a little interested at 5,800. Just another low owned type of guy that I'd be happy to have like 10% of in a GPP. I don't have any like knockdown guaranteed priorities though, outside of Robert Williams. Any Tatum and Brown is just always fine.
I'm a little concerned about Williams too, but yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think Tatum, Brown, Williams, Horford all look fine. Like they're appropriately priced. They certainly have ceilings. We know how good a good game from like Tatum or Brown or even Williams is. But from like a medium projection standpoint, I think they look about where they should be. My concern with Williams is just that Horford is expected to play, and Horford leads the team in rebound chances this year. Horford is at 15 rebound chances per game. Williams is next at 13.8. But overall this season, Williams only has a 13.5% rebounding percentage. Last year, he was up around 20%. So I do think Horford's cutting into his production a bit. Whether that continues long-term remains to be seen, but you do have a lower usage rate on Williams this year. You have a lower rebounding percentage. So Horford playing, I think, does impact Williams, but he also is still cheap. So like, I think he's still playable. I just am a little, and it's a Washington team that doesn't rebound very well, but I think that Horford being back is a negative for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the ceiling is still, he can still break things when those blocks and steals are coming. I mean, I've got him projected for 4 stocks just in general. If that's an outlier day up and it becomes 7 or 8, especially on FanDuel where you're locking in 21 points on 7 stocks, it's a lot easier to make that sort of stuff work. But I do think that Horford does mute him at least a little bit.
He's only played 23 minutes alongside Horford this year, so take these rates with a grain of salt. But he has averaged 0.37 DraftKings points per minute. He has a 3.6% usage rate and an 8.7% rebounding percentage.
Yeah, maybe he adjusts those up slightly, but neither here nor there.
Yeah. Like, obviously, he's not going to keep going at that rate. But yeah, he hasn't really done shit with Horford on the floor so far.
Making PJ Tucker look like he's right. Never stopped shooting at that rate. I don't really have much else to say really about Boston. Like, Jason Tatum's just a guy that I'll end up having. Nothing big to say about, you know, 10% Jason Tatum sounds good.
Yeah. Tatum and Brown both doing what they did last year as well. Both 30 to 31% usage rates. Nothing there's nothing like interesting to say about them. We know that they're really good. We know the matchup is good. I will play them. I don't think that they're like drastically underpriced or anything though.
All right. Anything else in this matchup?
Nope.
All righty. Schedule for the rest of the day, 11 a.m. NFL Strategy Show Ownership Edition. We move on to 1 p.m. We've got the Jock Market NBA show. We've got the NHL Strategy Show coming up at 2. No House Advantage NFL show coming up at 4. The Deeper Dive kicking off 15 minutes earlier than normal. I believe it is the boss man, Alex Baker, along with you, Adam, 4:45 Eastern time. Live before lock like normal, 6 to 7. And then you get PGA live before lock from 8 to 9. We've also got free content in NBA ownership rankings, NHL ownership projections, and the PGA Top Golfers Tool. All three are free on the site for today. Let's keep it moving. We'll go to the Miami Heat, 4.5-point underdogs in Brooklyn, 217 total on this one. Now, as I scroll down a little bit in my file, no real injury news to speak of here. It appears everybody is just in for Miami that should be. It appears that everybody that is in for Brooklyn that should be. Wouldn't surprise me if someone ended up on the injury report for Brooklyn if they're just going to continue to like rotate rest guys, but for right now, I think we could look at Miami to start. We've got Jimmy Butler at 16% ownership on FanDuel at 8,900. We've got Bam Adebayo at 13%. Those are the only two guys pulling any ownership. No one in double digits on DraftKings. I thought this might have been a little bit better matchup just because they're facing Brooklyn, but I have a very difficult time wanting to get to anything here from Miami outside of little bits of Butler or Bam.
Yeah, it's just another team that I think is priced either correctly or overpriced. Like you saw, you've seen the salary on Tyler Hero jump because of the big game he had without Kyle Lowry. With Lowry in, it's a pretty tough sell to pay 6,700 for Hero. Lowry at 7,300, you're not going to be too excited about as anything outside of, you know, just a low-owned tournament option. It basically leaves you with Butler and Bam. I think they're both good plays. I think that they're both priced around where they should be for the season. Butler's, you know, off to a good start. He's played well, 1.26 DraftKings points per minute. Bam's at 1.29. But they're I think, just pretty much priced where they should be.
The one thing I do want to point out, he's not getting any ownership at this, 4%, but Kyle Lowry's 6,500. I mean, at 6,500, if he goes for north of 40, like, you're really happy with that on FanDuel. There's nothing that stops Kyle Lowry from going for 40 fantasy points if he's playing 30 plus minutes in these games. Like, that's going to happen at some point in time. He's going to look like a good GPP play. I don't know if the median looks good today, but when Kyle Lowry is just like the guy that's getting it done for Miami, 6,500 is not going to be the right price tag for him.
Yeah, completely agree. And his rotation last game looked good. He played 31.2 minutes, but that was a blowout win over Orlando. He subbed out with 5 minutes to go in that game, played about 17 minutes in the first half. It's kind of similar to what we were talking about with Kemba yesterday, where the median, you know, different players, different prices, all of that, but like the same kind of idea where he doesn't look great from a median projection standpoint, because more often than not, he's going to take a backseat to Butler and Bam, and then you're also going to have to contend with Tyler Hero coming out and chucking. Only has a 17% usage rate so far this year, but you're still going to get games. If Kyle Lowry is going to play 34 minutes in competitive games, you're going to get games where he just destroys that salary.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. And he hasn't been great so far, 0.78 fantasy points per minute. So he's a guy where I might just have to like manually bump him a little bit just to make sure that I'm getting a little bit over that 4% mark, because that's a no one's going to look at that and be like, oh, Kyle Lowry had 28 real points and 50 fantasy points. That's not going to shock a single soul. So, or Kyle Lowry just might be getting old because he's not young.
That is also true.
On the Brooklyn side of this one, James Harden, 10K on FanDuel, Kevin Durant, 11K. James Harden, 10K on DraftKings, Kevin Durant, 10,500. No one on Brooklyn on either FanDuel or DraftKings is projected for more than 10% ownership. I don't really have a ton that I want to get to here. I don't know what they're really doing with their rotations, but I'm at least a little bit interested in Bruce Brown at 3,800 on FanDuel and 3,700 on DraftKings if this continues. I just don't know if it does. I don't know what they're doing with some of these guys.
Yeah, so Brown started in place of Claxton last game. He didn't really perform well, but at 3,700, if he stays in the starting lineup, he's going to play a pretty good value. Not a good matchup against Miami, but just really, really cheap. But also, if they don't rest anyone, like if Aldridge is back, you could certainly just see them go back to their normal starting lineup and Brown go back to not even being in the rotation. So it's pretty tough to gauge. If he's not starting, I would stay away from him. If he is starting, then he's cheap enough to roster. I think that, as usual, the two spots you're really looking at are Harden and Durant. Harden's been absolute garbage so far this year. 1.26 DraftKings points per minute. Not getting to the line, but that's the not getting to the line thing. You know, we talked about it in his last game, I think, but I think it's going to just kind of be overstated from in like the DFS community. You're talking about like a 4 free throw difference so far. He averaged 7.2 free throws per game last year. He's averaging 3 per game this year. Yeah, you would like him to get more, but that's not the real difference maker for Harden. He only has a 27.5% usage rate this year. That's down. His assist percentage is 40%, so that's good. Rebounding percentage at 10.7%. He's second on the team to Durant in rebound chances per game. So all that, the peripherals look good. He's shooting really poorly. Has a 48.6% true shooting percentage this year. You assume that's going to go up sooner rather than later. So Harden is just, the way he's played, like, you don't want to pay 10K for him. The matchup's not good. But at the same time, it's still James Harden. Like, he's not, you know, maybe he's not going to get, or he's not going to get to the line as much this year as he has in the past. But other than that, you're still talking about somebody that gets a ton of assists, rebounds really well. When he's shooting well, I assume his usage rate goes up. He's still driving. I didn't look after the last game, but going into the last game, he was only averaging 1.5 fewer drives per game than last season. So the opportunities are still there. He's going to start making shots sooner than later. So I do still have some interest in tournaments. And then Durant is interesting in tournaments too, just because he's so good.
Yeah. If I said, all right, it's October 27th. On November 27th, how many free throws per game do you think James Harden's averaging?
5.
Okay. I'll say 6 and change for me. I think it's more likely that it's closer to the last year. Unless Kyrie happens to come back, at which point all bets are off.
Free throws are just down for like a lot of the stars. So
yeah,
I think that like, it wouldn't surprise me if he kind of just ends up, 5.5, 6, I guess.
All righty. I don't have any, but like, Bruce Brown's the most interesting guy to me in this game, given his current ownership, but he could also just like not even play. DeAndre Bembry played 18 minutes in the last one. Like, I don't know if that continues. They seem to be just jerking this rotation all over the place. James Johnson plays 20 in the opening night. He hasn't played 20 minutes total since. Paul Millsap doesn't appear to be the guy that I thought he was going to be, which we'll see when that actually ends up changing. Nick Claxton is sort of like the only consistent big in this entire scenario. And he's
which
just
he played 16 minutes off the bench last game.
I know. It's Harden and Durant, I guess, and very little else. And even then, I don't like them much.
Playing Paul Millsap in cash opening night is going to go down as about as poorly as poor as playing Chris Davis opening day in like 2018 or whatever year it was he let off.
Anything else here, Miami or Brooklyn?
No, it should be a good real life game. Not sure how much you can get to from a DFS standpoint, though.
All right, on to Atlanta at the New Orleans Pelicans. Hawks are 6.5-point favorites in New Orleans, 219 total. No Zion, clearly. Questionable tag on Josh Hart for Atlanta. No Okongwu, Gallo, and Lou Will, both questionable. DeAndre Hunter is probable. Let's see what else we got here. So we're on to Atlanta. Trae Young, 9K across both sites, about 10% owned. In fact, 11% owned Trae Young on FanDuel is the only guy from the Hawks to get over 10%. And I think that I agree with it. I'm assuming Gallo plays finally. If he doesn't, those minutes basically just go to Solomon Hill and it doesn't really matter all that much. I don't see a lot out of Atlanta. I wish that I did because I think it's a good spot against New Orleans, but they're kind of just all appropriately priced and they've got so many different dudes that can be the guy that plays 30 minutes, but they could just as easily play 24 too.
Yeah, I think I'm a little higher on Atlanta, particularly Young and Capella. 9K for Young, I think, is just a really, really good price tag. He's one of the guys that I was referring to when we talked about Beal that I said, you know, there were some other very, very good plays in his price range. If this game's competitive, you're getting around 36 minutes from Young. He has averaged 1.36 DraftKings points per minute so far this year, 1.33 going back to the start of last year. He's someone that you know is going to get usage here. He has a 40%+ assist percentage. So, you know, the peripherals are there as well. I just think he's a little bit underpriced. And then Capella is pretty cheap, and we're seeing his playing time trend up. He was limited to come into the season. They had, you know, said that they were going to increase his minutes. Last game he played 25.9 minutes, subbed out for 2 minutes and 32 seconds of garbage time. If you're going to get 28, 29 minutes from Capella, I think that at 6,500, he is very capable of just destroying that salary.
Yeah, I'm with you there. He would be my second favorite guy on Atlanta behind Trae Young, but I just don't know how you prioritize Bogdanovich, Hunter, Reddish, Herter. Anybody, any one of those guys can like legitimately be out there in real time. I don't, if Gallo's playing, I just don't know how you go to someone like Reddish in the 5Ks now. I just don't really see much. They have like, these guys are all really talented. You're not surprised if anybody goes for 35, 40 fantasy points. I just don't think that any individual is super likely to do it. I really like Atlanta as just like a general team. There's a lot of talent here.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, it kind of limits what you can do, you know, outside of the main guys. But as far as, you know, the team goes, there is a lot of talent.
John Collins has been great this year, 1.3 fantasy points per minute. But, you know, a 30-minute guy is a 5 to 10% owned guy probably too.
Yeah, and not getting backup center minutes, which is whatever. I mean, he's still producing, but he would look better from a fantasy standpoint if Gorgui Dieng didn't exist.
Yeah, and like I mentioned, if Gallo is still out, just assume that whatever you're projecting him for is largely going to Solomon Hill and an extra minute to every other one of those wings.
Yep.
All right, for New Orleans, I'm going to assume that Josh Hart is in for right now. Who the hell knows? Probably doesn't matter all that much. They just take a bunch of those minutes away from Herb Jones, whose price isn't climbing yet, but probably because he's scored 0.43 fantasy points per minute in his NBA career. Not ideal. Brandon Ingram, 8,200 on FanDuel, 8,500 on DraftKings, not pulling any ownership. Not all that interesting to me. The guys that are pulling ownership intrigue me. Jovall is 23% owned on FanDuel. He's 7,500. I still like him. I don't know if I like 23% of him, but I'm going to be there. 18% owned N'Keal Alexander-Walker on FanDuel at 6,100. Again, I like it. I don't know if I want to be all the way at, you know, close to 20. Devontae Graham's the guy that's most interesting to me on FanDuel, 5,800, only 5% owned. I think I'd rather get to Graham than Walker in a GPP, but I do think that Walker is the better individual play. There's not a lot that I like at DraftKings, though, because I think all of their prices are significantly higher than they are on FanDuel. Do you like anything for the Pels on DK today?
Yeah, I mean, they're expensive on DraftKings. I'm perfectly fine going right back to Jonas Valanciunas, though. He is playing ridiculous minutes. We had seen it. It's like one of those situations where, you know, he for his career has just always been on a team where, like, they, for one reason or another, limit him to 28 to 30 minutes. And so it's kind of scary going, you know, seeing his rotations and being like, can I finally project Joval for, you know, like 35, 36 minutes. And we had seen games where, like, he played 34 minutes and then potentially lost minutes to garbage time. And we finally saw last game, like, he played 39.3 minutes. He just is playing ridiculous minutes. He's always been a very, very good fantasy producer. He's at 1.27 DraftKings points per minute so far this year. If this game's competitive, I don't think there's any reason to think he's not playing at least 35 or 36 minutes based on what we've seen this year, if he can avoid foul trouble. So at 8,200, you know, yeah, the price tag is getting up there, but I still think he's a good play. Ingram gives you a ceiling, but I think that along with Joval, Devontae Graham at 5,700 is pretty interesting. You can expect him to play good minutes as well. Played 38 and a half last game. On average, you know, I'd assume plays 34, 35. He's averaged just shy of a fantasy point per minute this year. So Joval and Graham, my top two guys, followed by Ingram.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're on the same page there. Does Josh Hart's status matter to you at all?
Only in that, I mean, not really. If he doesn't play, then you could play a $3,300 Herbert Jones and hope that he shoots the ball a couple of times. But that's, you know, it's a deep play, even if Hart is out.
Yeah.
He's not out there to shoot. He's not one of these guys where it's like, oh yeah, he has an 8% usage rate so far, but that's going to come up. Like, his job is to play defense and get out of the other guy's way on the offensive end.
Yeah. Very little else here for me from the Pels. I don't have anything else for this game. Let's keep it moving. Indiana at Toronto. Pacers 2-point favorites in Toronto, 218 and a half total. No TJ Warren, no Pascal Siakam. Caris LeVert is questionable from a injury report perspective. Everything that I read yesterday and earlier today on the Process Show from Carlisle is Caris LeVert is not going to be playing in this game. I'm not projecting him in for right now. So we start on the Indiana side. Miles Turner, double digits in ownership on FanDuel at 5,700. He's 13% owned. I agree with that ownership. No one else is higher than 6% right now, and I agree with that too. If I get Sabonis, if I get Brogdon, Duarte, Turner, even Justin Holiday to a degree, that's fine. The minutes are very steady for all of these guys, or maybe even heavy. I don't really find any of these guys to be great values today. Are you seeing anything for Indiana?
I don't see a lot of value, like you said. I think they're either priced correctly or even a little bit overpriced. The rotation's been really nice. You know, you're getting 37, 38 minutes in competitive games from Sabonis and Brogdon. Duarte is playing 34 to 36 typically. But when you start, you know, thinking about some of the other players that we've talked about already, you know, $9,900 for Domantas Sabonis is fine. He's certainly capable of giving you, you know, 60 fantasy points, but you're paying a 10% premium compared to, you know, a Trae Young or Bradley Beal, just, you know, thinking of guys we've already mentioned. Kind of the same thing with Brogdon. You know, he's 8,300. He can certainly pay that off. He's a productive player playing 38 minutes, but I think it's just where his salary should be. So they kind of just get forced for me into a spot where I'll use them as low-owned guys in tournaments to give me a contrarian piece to my lineup, but I don't anticipate, like, jamming in anything from Indiana.
Yeah, I thought on the surface that I was going to jam in a bunch of Indiana today. That does not appear to be the case based on everything I'm looking at. I thought, like, even if their ownership ended up being lower, I'd get them, and I'm not even doing that.
Yeah, I mean, the ownership on Miles Turner is really interesting to me. He's 2% owned. He was popular last slate. People were playing him in cash. He played 14 minutes because of foul trouble. There's volatility with Miles Turner. You know, he's going to get in foul trouble sometimes. He's going to just not have a good game sometimes. But there's a really high ceiling for him at that price as well. So I do think it's a nice spot to go back to Turner.
Sure. And again, 5,700, just power forward eligible on FanDuel, not center eligible for starting center Miles Turner.
Yeah. Also, it wasn't completely foul trouble last game. He played 3 minutes to open the game. That was foul trouble. But then didn't foul anybody in his next 4 minutes. Didn't foul anybody to open the third. Still only played 5 minutes and 25 seconds. Played another minute and 43 and then just never came back into the game. Yoga Batadze was in the rotation. That was new.
Yeah.
It's not that that's not what you really want to see from Miles Turner, but still there's no reason to think going forward that the plan would be for like in games, he's not in foul trouble and he's healthy. You know, why would Turner be playing less than like 28 to 30 minutes?
No, if they're going to do that, he's not going to be on the Pacers any longer. They're right. Just going to trade him and not pay him. Just go to Goga. So yeah, we're on the same page there. All right, let's do this. The chalk of all chalks for today, that would be the Toronto Raptors. Ownership on Fred VanVleet, 20% on DK, 30% on FanDuel. Scotty Barnes is 36% owned on FanDuel and 11% owned on DraftKings. I don't want 36% owned Scotty Barnes on FanDuel. I think that's dramatically too high. Gary Trent, Precious Achiuwa, OG Anunoby, all 15 to 20% owned. The Toronto Raptors starting lineup is the highest owned thing on this slate today on FanDuel, and it's not exactly low owned on DraftKings. How do you manage Toronto in a really nice pace up spot against Indiana?
I think you put them into your lineups. Assuming the game's close, you're going to get plenty of minutes from these guys. The pricing is reasonable. 7,800 for VanVleet looks fine. 6,500 for Anunoby looks fine. We've seen him take on a bigger role as a scorer this year. Usage percentage is up with Siakam out. 24.7% usage rate for Anunoby actually leads the team with the exception of Chris Boucher. VanVleet's at 22.9% this year with a 37% assist percentage. I think it's likely that comes up as we go forward. Scotty Barnes has been a decent fantasy producer so far. He's rebounding at a high rate, 22.7% usage percentage. Achiuwa in games where he avoids foul trouble, we continue to see him play around 30 minutes. So I think the pricing on DraftKings is more in line with where it should be. But I do think that when you think about the ceilings these guys have and the minutes that they're playing, there is still some meat on the bone for everyone from Achiuwa to Barnes to Anunoby, VanVleet.
Thoughts on the 36% owned Scotty Barnes on FanDuel?
This
is just like Gordon Hayward to me. I don't get it at all.
He stood out when I was looking, when we were talking about Hayward and I was looking at the small forward position, because he is really cheap. I mean, 5,300 for someone that's averaging around 0.85 fantasy points per minute and likely to play 34 to 36 minutes. I think that's just a really solid, like, that's one of those plays where I'm not going to say like he can't fail at 5,300, but it's one of those plays where it just feels like the worst case is he just ends up being like a non-factor and, you know, gets like 25 DraftKings points and, you know, doesn't help you win a tournament, but doesn't completely destroy you. But then he has plenty of, you know, 35, 40 fantasy point games in there.
Like, I got him at 29 FanDuel points, 0.88 for the game. I think that's a reasonable stance to take. He showed up in my sim 17% of the time. That's less than half of the ownership. This is another spot where I just think it's really, really easy to find different ownership elsewhere. Do I think that he's a like solid play? Yeah, of course. But I just think he's massively over-owned in tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can certainly find other plays elsewhere. It's a 10-game slate. One thing with Barnes, too, that I think is nice is so much of his production comes from rebounding, and we know that typically that's more stable. He's second on the team to Achiuwa, 12.8 rebound chances per game. Achiuwa's at 17.3. So it's... You know, him not being scoring dependent, him being cheap, and him being likely to play mid-30s in minutes, I think he's just really safe.
It's probably true. High floor feels like a decent way to describe it, I guess.
Yeah, but, like, I don't think – you know, a lot of times when you say something like that, it implies, like, low ceiling. I think Barnes has a high ceiling as well.
Maybe. I don't know what to make of him because – I wasn't a huge fan of him coming out. Like, he's a really inefficient, raw offensive player. He shot 28% from three last year in college, 62% from the line. Like, I don't know. I like the idea for the Raptors as like a developmental project. He got out of the gate a little bit faster, and I think it's clouding something. I'm just not going to be there tonight if he's 36% owned.
For me, it's the peripherals. Like, he's second on the team in rebound chances per game. He's second on the team in potential assists per game. Granted, there's a gulf there. VanVleet's first with 16.5. Barnes is second with 5. But he's still involved as a, you know, facilitator. He's one of the leading rebounders, and he's getting shots up. So yeah, he can be inefficient. But he has a 22.7% usage rate in addition to the peripherals. I think it's just like the peripherals are going to be there typically. And when his shot is falling and he's scoring, he's going to put up huge fantasy games.
Wow. Okay. Here's one legit question here. Do you have Montrezl Harrell's projection in front of you?
I can.
What's your gap between Montrezl Harrell and Scottie Barnes?
For my like my baseline stuff, I haven't added anything. But on DraftKings or FanDuel?
FanDuel.
Like 3 points in favor of Barnes.
Okay. Yeah, I have Barnes by 1 point. I'm just looking around that sort of area. Guys that I have comparable, like Lauri Markkanen, not all that far away. Mikal Bridges, not all that far away. Even someone like Miles Turner, who's already getting some ownership. Precious, Portis, who we're going to get to.
Alex, I'm seeing what Alex has. Whoa. Alex is a big Montrezl Harrell guy tonight. Alex has Harrell by a point.
Okay. Just for the record, Montrezl Harrell, 8.5% owned today. Scottie Barnes, 36. Darius Bazley,
so, I mean, I think unowned. What you're getting at here, and I agree completely, is that range of outcomes-wise, Harrell's going to beat Barnes a decent amount of the time.
Yeah. Like I said, Scottie Barnes showed up in 17% of my sims. That's a really high mark for a slate of this size. Like, that's... I mean, Scottie Barnes is the 10th most frequent optimal for me today. So I don't want it to seem like I have a problem with Scottie Barnes in general. I think that he should be owned. I just think he's too owned. So I want to make sure that I make that distinction, because there's a difference between someone that's a good play and someone that I'm going to get away from in GPPs in comparison to just me saying, like, he's a no. I don't think that he's a no. I just think that he's over-owned.
Yeah, so you think Scottie Barnes is a terrible basketball player and he should be in the G League, I know.
Yeah, exactly. Shouldn't have been like, could that have been more clear for everybody here? Toronto's going to be really tricky to avoid, and that you got to really pick your spots because pricing and minutes here, we're starting to get into that Toronto time where everybody just plays 40 minutes a game because they're barely playing Chris Boucher at this point. I thought Dragic was going to play a lot for this Toronto team. That doesn't appear to be the case. I wonder if he's on Toronto by the time the season's over. We shall see.
Yeah, Dragic at 3,700, like that, and like not even being mentioned until right now is pretty crazy.
All right. What is going to get mentioned right now? That would be Prize Picks. They offer daily prop-based contests. You can use the promo code AWESOMO to get an instant match deposit bonus of up to $100 on that first deposit. Don't pass that up, guys. Take that free loot. You put in 100, they match with 100. You don't have to worry about sharks or optimizers or mass entry. You can make a five-player lineup that nets up to 10x your entry fee. You don't even have to get all five right. You'll just get a little bit lesser of a payout if you get three or four. You can make cross-sport entries across multiple sports if you want. Download the app in the App Store or Google Play or go to prizepicks.com. You can use our free player prop tools to help you make some of your decisions. I've got two of them for you right now based off of one of the last games that we just looked at, Indiana and Toronto. So I'm going to pull up the prize pick prop for you, Adam. I need you to tell me if you think they're going to go over or under. Does that sound good?
FanDuel scoring, right?
Correct. Domantas Sabonis, over under 44.5 fantasy points.
Over. It's close, but I'll take over.
I got him at 47.6, so I'm pretty much, like, I'm going over, I'd say, pretty aggressively. I think a 3 fantasy point gap is pretty big in this sort of scenario, so I really like the idea of going to over on Domantas Sabonis. The other one that I have for you, Fred VanVleet, over under 37 fantasy points for Fred VanVleet.
That's what I have. I would take the over if I have to take it.
I have him over as well, so I have my eye on this one. I've been taking the overs on Fred VanVleet quite a bit. I haven't gotten there quite yet, but I'm still going to go back that direction. We've got OG Anunoby at 34. I think that one's pretty much spot on. Malcolm Brogdon's in at 39. I think that one's spot on. I got them at 39.2. So I don't think there's too much else here in Toronto and Indy, but I do like the overs on Van Vliet and Sabonis.
Yeah, Shane Hall in chat just had a perfect example of, you know, a pivot away from Barnes. You know, Barnes 6K on DraftKings. He's only getting 11% ownership, but John Collins is in that same price range as well. Certainly the kind of guy that you can just play instead of Scottie Barnes.
Yeah, I like that a lot. All righty. I think that we can keep this moving. Again, shout out to Prize Picks. Make sure you're using that promo code AWESOMO when you sign up. I assume that link is in our description. I think you can get it into chat as well. Minnesota Timberwolves, 7.5 point dogs in Milwaukee, 229.5 total. No Drew Holiday, no Brook Lopez, no Dante DiVincenzo for Milwaukee. Bobby Portis, though, probable, as is Semi Ojeleye. The Milwaukee rotation is going to get a little wonky now. I do want to mention we got the news yesterday. Mamukelashvili and Georgios Kalatzakis have both been sent down to the G League. So now that we have those two guys up, the other two guys are going down. Let's start on the Minnesota side of this game, however. They are the underdogs on the road. Highest owned play in this game is Anthony Edwards at 7.5%. And for all intents and purposes, I agree with it. I don't find Minnesota to be very interesting to get to. Although if Karl Anthony Towns continues to score 1.6 fantasy points per minute, I'm going to need to wake up.
I mean, do you think he stops?
I mean, I don't think he's a 1.6 guy, but I think that this team having a bunch of offensive talent around him is starting to help him out a bit. You know, I got him at like 1.45, which is better than he normally is, but he's been outstanding so far offensively.
Yeah, 1.44 going back to the start of last season. So, yeah, I'm with you. You know, like he certainly could produce at a higher rate in this offense than he has before. I doubt that he stays at the same level he's at right now, but he does have a 33.2% usage rate. At the very least, he's just always going to be a very good tournament play. Last, you know, you saw last time out the type of ceiling he offers you, and he was like 3% owned, scored 70 fantasy points. So, yeah, low ownership, he's always a strong option. Anthony Edwards is playing really well. His price tag's come up a bit, but he does have a 29% usage rate this year. He's averaging 1.22 DraftKings points per minute. So I think he's still fine. D'Angelo Russell is kind of always interesting to me in tournaments. The issue I have is that he's pretty much just playing like 30 minutes per game right now. He's not expensive, but he's not cheap either. And I think you see him, I don't want to say take a back seat, but you know, there's only one ball and you have Towns and you have Edwards. So you still have a 29% usage rate for Russell this year. He's shot really poorly, 44.8% true shooting percentage. I think that Russell kind of fits into that, I guess, you know, for lack of a better comparison, but like the same thing we were talking about with Kyle Lowry, where you're going to get some games where $7,100 D'Angelo Russell just catches fire and scores like 55 DraftKings points. He's not going to look great from a medium projection standpoint, but the opportunities are there for him in any individual game. Like if he's shooting well, he's going to take more shots. So I still think the ceiling is really high.
Do you know what Anthony Edwards is shooting for mid-range so far this season?
No, I don't.
Just take your guess.
78%.
You're going to need to go the other direction. You'd be better off. Just subtract that from 100. 17% from the mid-range this year for Anthony Edwards. While it seems like things are going better, his efficiency has been putrid. He's not shooting well at the rim. He can't make anything elsewhere. He just happens to be shooting 42% from three, and that is saving him significantly. I think he's just going to get better, but still needs some work. I don't have anything else for Minnesota.
I don't think I do either. Beasley's kind of interesting.
You think?
Played 20.
How many minutes does he play?
He played 29 last game. He closed. Like the closing lineup last game was Russell, Towns, Edwards, McDaniels, Beasley. He closed both halves. He didn't do anything. He's 4,400. He only has a 13.8% usage rate this year. Like he's disappeared behind the, you know, three guys that are just chucking up shots, but they're not staggering Towns and Edwards. You're getting Russell playing with the second unit some. I don't know. I think Beasley at 4,400, like I think that's a pretty appealing price tag.
Okay. Zach LaVine diagnosed with torn thumb ligament intends to play through injury.
Yeah, I was going to mention that just so that in like a month when losing money constantly with Zach LaVine and swearing that he's going to start shooting better. Maybe it will click in my head that he has a torn thumb ligament.
Could be it. All right, let's move over to Milwaukee. This one's actually tricky because I don't totally know what their rotation is going to look like for the final couple guys now that we're mixing and matching and getting guys back or just general playing time. But I think it probably won't matter all that much. Let's start here. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 11,200 on FanDuel, 10,800 on DraftKings. This is a perfect matchup as far as I'm concerned. He is projected for 30% ownership. I'm going to be north in that. I think Giannis is pretty clearly the top pay-up option today.
Yeah, right there with you. Pretty much always is. Good matchup for him, like you said. Just extremely productive player. He's expensive, obviously, but he's not like crazy expensive or anything at 10-8 on DraftKings. So yeah. 1.73 DraftKings points per minute so far this year for Giannis. That's in line with what we've seen in the past as well. So going right back to him.
Yeah, he's in 53% of my lineups right now, even at 30% owned. I love it. Happy to get to some Chris Middleton, 8,200 on FanDuel, 7,800 on DraftKings. No Drew Holiday, so it makes it a little bit easier. He's at 10% ownership on DraftKings. Grayson Allen is at 16%. He's only 4,400. You get guard forward eligibility. I think that all makes sense. What do you want to do with Bobby Portis? 4,300 on DraftKings. Power forward center eligibility. He's getting some ownership. I gave him 24 minutes. I have no concept of how many he could actually play.
24 seems really aggressive, I think.
Who the hell else is going to play it?
I mean, he didn't play a minute in the preseason. He's coming back from injury. Like, I don't know. I think 20-ish makes sense.
Okay.
Which still makes him viable.
Yeah, like I just don't know who else is going to get all the minutes at this point. I don't know how much they want to play Giannis at the five. They're not playing Mamu now at all because he's not there. So I mean, obviously 28-20 split for Giannis at center seems reasonable. I just don't have an idea. Like, this, it's one of the bigger question marks, and I think it's a really important discussion point too.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just, it's kind of like Dinwiddie for me. Like, yeah, he can play 24 minutes, but if you're projecting 24, you need him to have some 28 minute games in there. And I really don't know that those exist right now.
Yeah, maybe. What was the issue? Hamstring?
Hamstring, I think.
Not ideal. You really like that one to be like a thumb injury or something. I'm clicking on him now. Left hamstring strain. It doesn't appear to be any like legitimate notes here. I don't know. Yeah, we don't know. I'm hoping that we get some sort of information on how much he can play. You're going to move forward with 20, though?
Yeah, Alex has 20 and a half. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just kind of the way I'm thinking of it is like, if Portis plays 24 minutes, I wouldn't be shocked, but I don't think it's like the most likely outcome. If he played 28 minutes or 26 minutes, I'd be very, very surprised. So that makes me kind of want to keep him in that like 20 to 22 minute range.
That's fair. Grayson Allen, Pat Connaughton, George Hill. I don't have much to say here, although I do think Grayson Allen is probably the guy that looks the best out of the group.
Yeah, I think Allen looks fine. Guard forward eligibility is nice, as you mentioned. 4,400 is reasonable. You know, he's not a high usage guy. He's not a super productive guy, but he just kind of fits in nicely into lineups, I think. Middleton gives you a very high ceiling. He's still only 7,800 on DraftKings too, so that looks pretty good. He's around a 1.15 fantasy point per minute guy without Holiday over the last couple of seasons. He clearly can disappear at times. He's someone that is very frustrating in DFS, but he's also got a massive ceiling. So I think Middleton's a good play. Giannis, the guy that really, really stands out here though.
Yeah. Nwora, Thanasis, Justin Robinson, Semi, does any of those guys seem viable to you?
Not really. Wara played about 24 minutes last game. I'm expecting him to stay in like the low to mid 20s. He's 4,500. He's relatively productive, but it's just tough to see now that, you know, guys are coming back that are going to be in the rotation. It's just really, it's tough for me to see games that are, unless, you know, it's garbage time or something like that. It's tough for me to see a lot of games where Wara succeeds.
Anything else in this game?
George Hill at 3,700 is fine. He's not very productive alongside Middleton and Giannis. Like, going back to his previous stint on Milwaukee, he averaged about 0.6 fantasy points per minute with those guys on the floor. But he is 3,700. He is likely to play 26 to 28 minutes.
All righty. So for the next one, Lakers and Oklahoma City Thunder. Lakers are 9-point favorites, 220 total. We know no Trevor Ariza, no Kendrick Nunn, no Talen Horton-Tucker. I want to see if we've gotten any update, and it doesn't look like we've had an injury report update since – oh, we do have the 10:30 here. Still unsubmitted. Okay, so we have no idea what the status is going to be of LeBron James, of Derek Favors, potentially of Anthony Davis. They didn't have to submit injury reports yet. We do not have any official designations on any of those guys. So we're starting with the Lakers since they're on the road. What is your expectation for LeBron James and Anthony Davis for today?
I kind of agree. I agree with what Greg had tweeted out yesterday. I think that there's a pretty good chance one of them plays today. If James is legitimately hurt, then like I don't think they're also going to rest Davis. But I mean, they could. It's Oklahoma City. But if James is able to play, I wouldn't be surprised at all if you get Davis ruled out.
Neither would I. Did take a knock to his knee late last night as well. So if you want to be safe, plus Oklahoma City is the drizzling shit. So there's not a ton to like there. I have them both in because I don't know what else to do right now. We'll learn a lot about how hurt LeBron is if he doesn't play this one, or how much he's willing to actually sit, because I know that he doesn't like to do it. It's a really hard team to look at right now, but I'll say this much. Whether LeBron James plays or not, whether Anthony Davis plays or not, I would like to play Russell Westbrook at 8,400 on FanDuel.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, like if either one of those guys are out, I'm going to probably have 70 to 80% of him like I did again yesterday. Yeah, but if, man, even if they're both in, 84% or 8,400 is a price tag where I still want to play him, even if he is alongside the two stars.
Yeah, it's if James and Davis play, Westbrook can certainly fail at that price, but he also still has a really high ceiling. It's just there's a little bit more volatility in his production. But if one of them gets ruled out, then he just becomes like the best player on the slate.
Yep. No doubt about it there. You just jam them in. On DraftKings, if they're all in, I don't really want to play any of them. Although I understand how you get to some of them in GPPs, but they're all in the nines, and sifting through it, I think, is pretty difficult to do.
Yeah, the pricing is, I think, more efficient on DraftKings. I still kind of just like the idea, like, if we don't have news. Actually, it's an 8 o'clock game, so we might have news. But, like, if we don't have news, I don't hate the idea of just assuming one of them sits and bumping up Westbrook. It would probably make the most sense to assume LeBron sits just because Davis is $200 more expensive. So it would be really easy if, you know, we get 7:30 news that LeBron is in and Davis is out. You're just going to be able to pretty easily swap Davis to LeBron.
Yeah, I don't want to dig in too much to this because if we're like, okay, well, if AD doesn't play, then how much Dwight Howard and DeAndre do you want to get to? If LeBron doesn't play, then how much Malik Monk do you want to get to? None of this is going to be worthwhile for right now. And watch the deeper dive and watch Live Before Lock for that kind of analysis. I don't have any interest in Melo. Bazemore is truly terrible right now. 0.46 fantasy points per minute. He looked like he had never played basketball when I was watching yesterday, but he's 3,900 shooting guard, small forward eligibility on FanDuel, only 5% owned. He's a value play that I'll probably get to. He's 4,100 on DraftKings, so it's not all that interesting. Bazemore's 3,900 on FanDuel.
Yeah. I mean, if they're all in, it's still kind of a shitty play, but
I don't have anybody else I can say anything about. No, not at all. I hate it. Yeah, so
it's kind of, it's in the same vein as like me a minute ago throwing George Hill out there because he's 3,700 and, you know, he'll be on the floor.
Exact same thing.
But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's really a situation where we'll just have a lot more, hopefully a lot more to talk about, you know, on the deeper dive and Live Before Lock.
Yeah. So pay close attention to the news, guys, because it changes the, like the tweet I got yesterday. Does LeBron being out change anything? It just might. Oklahoma City. I have Favors in for right now. I don't think this one matters as much. They went to Jeremiah Robinson Earl yesterday. He played like 27 minutes too. It was perfectly reasonable. Time to have another gigantic conversation because I'm a little curious about some of this. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is 7,100 across both sites. He's 25% owned on DK, 31 on FanDuel. Lou Dort is pulling 15 to 20% ownership across both sites. Josh Giddey is 17% owned on DraftKings today, where he's only 4,800. He's up to 5,700 on FanDuel. Not nearly as enamored as I was yesterday. Let's start with Shea here, though. How do you feel about that ownership? The FanDuel ownership at 31% feels a little high, but I also don't like, you know, $7,100 Shea feels good too.
Yeah, I think he's just completely mispriced. And this is a slate where you don't have a ton of mispriced guys. You know, this isn't like the first week of the season where you could point to 15 other guys that were also $1,000 too cheap. I'm not really sure what caused his price tag to come back down. He has only averaged 1.03 DraftKings points per minute so far this year, but still has a 28.2% usage rate, 23.2% assist percentage. I am assuming his production comes up sooner rather than later. He's playing big minutes in competitive games. He's, I think, just mispriced and looks really good. Going back to last year, 1.2 DraftKings points per minute. So, you know, yeah, I think he's a good chalk play, I think, at 7,100.
Here's my biggest issue. And I think you'll largely agree with me from a GPP perspective. Spencer Dinwiddie's $300 cheaper and 2% owned.
Like, that's fine. It's fine. But again, it kind of just comes back to something that you and I talk about a lot, where it's your entire lineup. Like, I'm not going to just start jamming Spencer Dinwiddie in like all of my lineups in place of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You can definitely use him if you need a contrarian piece, but especially with NBA, I mean, they're projections, it's just so much easier to project. I don't want to just, you know, shy away from every chalk piece.
I know that this is another spot and we're going to get to it, but the other real big problem for me that's ending up pinching Shai, it's a little bit higher in price, but Dame is 8,200 on FanDuel. And now it's like, oh, I can get Dame, who, even if he is chalky, that one's just like actual broken. I can offset my Shai with the unowned Dinwiddie. And I think that's starting to balance me out a little bit differently from a leverage perspective. I'm curious to see where I end up at the end of the day, but this is the same situation. I don't remember who we were just talking about. Like, I still have Shai showing up 16% of the time. Yeah. Okay. Like, Shai's my number 14 overall guy to be in an optimal. It's not like I don't like Shai. I just have guys that are comparable to him in odds of being in an optimal that are not getting touched from an ownership perspective so far. It's something I got to pay attention to for FanDuel moving forward. What do you want to do with the rest of Oklahoma City?
Giddey's price tag dropped $1,000 on DraftKings. Not really sure why that happened, but it makes him look really good. Like you said, he is getting ownership, but I think it makes sense. Played 27 minutes last night. You know, you're typically going to get him around 30 minutes, I think, give or take, you know, a few minutes either way. But he's averaged 1.04 DraftKings points per minute. He's another guy kind of like Barnes. You know, the usage rate isn't as high as Barnes is, but the peripherals are there. He has a 26.5% assist percentage this year, 13.9% rebounding percentage, only, you know, 16.5% usage rate, but the peripherals just make it so it's relatively difficult for him to fail at that price tag. And then nights where he does actually score, you know, his shot is actually falling, he's going to have big games. He's second on the team behind Gilgeous-Alexander with 6 potential assists per game. He's, I'm sure, towards the top of the team in rebounding. I'm pulling that up now. But the peripherals just make him, I think, a strong option. He leads the team with 7.3 rebound chances per game as well.
Anything else here?
Dort's fine. Not the highest, you know, ceiling guy, but he should play a lot of minutes. He's only 4,500. Looked like he was going to have a monster game yesterday. Started out really well. Did not do well the rest of the game, but 4,500, certainly a good option. At 23%, though, I like looking at the Oklahoma City ownership on DraftKings, where you have 25% going to SGA, 23% going to Dort, and 17% going to Giddey. Dort's the first one I get away from there.
That makes sense. Sacramento Kings, 7.5-point dogs in Phoenix, 226 total. Campaign out for the Phoenix Suns. On the Sacramento side, Davion Mitchell at 3,800 on FanDuel is 13.6% owned. He's the only guy north of 7% ownership on either site. I don't find a lot to like here from Sacramento. Do you?
No, I don't see a whole lot. Davion Mitchell, if you're, you know, playing a lot of lineups, certainly someone you can mix in at 4,200 as a value option. He has a path to closing minutes if he's playing well. Coming off of a game, you know, he played 32 minutes and closed against Golden State. He had a really good game. So it's, you know, the minutes can be there when he's playing well, and that's really all that you're asking for on cheap players. He has only averaged about 2/3 of a fantasy point per minute this year. Not a core piece or anything, but I do think there's some upside there. Outside of that, it's tough to get to a lot. I think Fox would be the next piece for me just because his ceiling's so high. But 8,600, he's in that, he's not that far off from the Damian Lillard, Trey Young, Bradley Beal plays. So it makes it a little difficult to get there, I think.
$5,900 Rashawn Holmes is the only thing that stands out to me on DK. That's all I got for Sacramento.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
And on the Phoenix side, a little bit more interesting. Devin Booker, $7,500 on FanDuel. Jay Crowder pulling a bunch of ownership on FanDuel at $3,900. He's $5,200 on DK. Chris Paul, Bridges, Ayton, all about 10% owned on DraftKings. I think everybody looks pretty similar on DK. And I think that Devin Booker and Jay Crowder have bad prices on FanDuel. Where are you at for Phoenix?
Yeah, I think that's about where I'm at as well. You know, if this game's competitive, you're assuming that you're going to get 30 to 32 minutes from Paul. Makes him look pretty good at 7,600. You're assuming you're going to get around 35 minutes from Booker. Makes him look like a solid option at 8K. Probably getting around 33 minutes from Ayton. Solid option at 6,600. I like, you know, all three of those guys. You can mix in Bridges at 5K as well. Large field tournaments, you can even mix in a $3,100 McGee if you need, you know, value. He's probably going to play like 12 to 15 minutes somewhere in there. But he's just a phenomenal per minute producer. So I think that Phoenix on DraftKings is just, they're not like egregiously mispriced, but I think they are one of the softer priced teams on the slate.
I have nothing else I can add for Phoenix.
What's their DraftKings ownership looking like right now? It's pretty low.
Everybody's like 10%, basically. Booker, Paul, Bridges, Ayton, all 9 to 13.
Yeah, I think that's pretty appealing.
Yeah.
Like Chris Paul's an example of a guy that you could use. Not that he's low owned, but he's like half the ownership of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for $500 more. Perfect example of somebody that, you know, Gilgeous-Alexander projects as a better play, but Chris Paul's going to beat him a pretty high percentage of the time.
Memphis at Portland, 2.5 point dogs for Memphis, 234 total on this one. No Dylan Brooks, no Tony Snell. Norm Powell, questionable. I think based on this injury, I'm treating it like he is not playing. Memphis has 23% owned Jaren Jackson on FanDuel, 18 on DK, 21% De'Anthony Melton owned on FanDuel, 28 on DK. They are the two bigger pieces. Melton stands out to me. What else looks good for you for Memphis?
Yeah, Melton stands out, you know, as long as he's staying in the starting lineup. 5K is still a perfectly fine price tag for him. He's averaging 1.03 DraftKings points per minute this year, 20.2% usage rate. You know, obviously he loses some usage and some per minute production playing alongside Morant, but he's also getting increased playing time as a starter. So that's, you know, good. It makes him look like a very good value here. Ja Morant is just playing out of his mind so far this year. 37% usage rate, 35% assist percentage. He's expensive is the problem. I still think you can go there in tournaments because he's going to be low owned. He's right now projected for 1% ownership. He can still get you 60 DraftKings points. So like, I think he's fine in tournaments, even though he is a little bit overpriced for his median. So not a priority, but somebody that I do like as a low owned option. Jaren Jackson is fine. I think Steven Adams at 5,300 is fine. But Melton's the guy that really stands out.
On the Portland side, for some reason, FanDuel decided to make everything dumb and turn Dame Lillard into an $8,200 player. I can't imagine what I'm going to get at point guard if the Lakers news breaks correctly, but I will have all of the Damian Lillard today. I've got 55% of them right now, even at 33% ownership. On DraftKings, everything looks pretty normal for Portland. Talk to me about the Blazers.
I still think Dame's a little underpriced on DraftKings. $9,400 for him. It's basically just because he's been shooting poorly. Lillard is always, he's one of like the most interesting guys to talk about from a pricing standpoint, I think, because there's like such a gap between his median projection and what his ceiling looks like compared to, you know, other players. And so it's like when he's 10K, he still gets ownership because it's Damian Lillard and he can just go get 60 points relatively frequently. So it's like, I end up not playing Lillard because I think he's overpriced for his normal production. But then when he drops to 9,400, it's like he's priced for his normal production. And then he also just gives you this massive ceiling along with it. So I'm not going to get, you know, too carried away because I think it is important to note that he has all these other similar guys in his price range as well. You know, Morant on the other side of this game is 200 more. Beal is 200 yet less. Young is 400 less. Jason Tatum is like 300 less. So there are a ton of very, very similar options there that'll probably keep Lillard from becoming, you know, too big a part of my night. But I do think he's at a price point that's really appealing just because he's dropped in salary as a result of a 45.5% true shooting percentage so far this year. That's going to come up soon.
Yeah. And the FanDuel price is just full on broken. It's the most broken price tag I've seen today.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Nothing else to add here for me for Portland.
No, I mean, obviously McCollum and Nurkic are both playable. If Powell's out, you're probably getting Nasir Little starting again.
Yeah.
He played 32 minutes last game and didn't get – and then the game, you know, blew out. So I think it is important – I guess an important takeaway for me was that he dominated the minutes. I thought there was a chance that you would see Larry Nance play more. Little did dominate those minutes. He is 3,900. He's not the most productive player, but 3,900, if he gets the start in place of Powell, he's going to look like a pretty good value.
Closing it out, 7.5-point underdog Cleveland Cavaliers at the LA Clippers, 217 total. No Marcus Morris, Kawhi Leonard, Serge Ibaka, Isaac Okoro, doubtful for Cleveland. Highest owned guy on the Cleveland side of this game is 4.4% owned, Evan Mobley. I would like more Evan Mobley than that on FanDuel. I'd like a little bit of Colin Sexton too, but I'm not really trying to get to a lot of Cleveland here. They don't look very good.
Yeah, the pricing on DraftKings is pretty rough. Sexton at 6,500 does give you a pretty nice ceiling, but I think that's about where he should be priced in terms of medium projection. So I like him in tournaments. Wouldn't get to him in cash games or anything. It's pretty much just guys that I think are priced where they should be. They give you some upside like Sexton, but there's nothing that stands out to me as like a particularly good play.
I think there's one particularly good play on the Clippers side here, and that would be $3,600 Nick Batum, small forward, power forward eligibility. He's 27% owned. I think that looks pretty reasonable, but I'll happily get to some Reggie Jackson on FanDuel. Terrence Mann, Zubats could play a little bit more considering the Cavs have a really, really big front court. Paul George is 10-5 and 10-3. I don't know how much I'm going to get there, although he's been playing incredible. Close us out with the Clips.
So obviously I'm with you on Batum as a value option. He started last game in place of Morris, played about 22 minutes, but that was a game that got out of hand, didn't play down the stretch. I would assume that you're getting around 28, 30 minutes from him if this game's competitive. Zubats, I like a lot here. I think he ends up being a really, really good tournament option because I don't think he's going to get much ownership. He right now is projected for 7%. That's actually even a little higher than I was anticipating, but he benefits from Morris being out because it should give him more minutes. And then on top of that, like you said, you have Jared Allen, certainly someone that Zubats can be on the floor against. So like in the game against Portland, Zubats played 25 minutes. He didn't play at all in the fourth quarter because it was a 35-point game. I think that he's in the closing lineup a pretty decent amount here, just because, you're not going to have – it's not quite as easy to go to those small lineups. So not a guarantee that Zubats closes, but I do think he plays more minutes than he typically would with Morris being out. He's pretty cheap. He's a good – he's around a fantasy point-per-minute guy. I like him in tournaments.
Anything else here for the Clippers for you?
What's Luke Kennard? I would be cautious chasing Luke Kennard's last game. The opportunities are still there for him, but his price went up to 4K. He shot really, really well in that game. Pay attention to his ownership because right now we do have it at only 4%. If he's 4%, it's fine. But, yeah. I wouldn't look at the last game and say, Luke Kennard's like a must play now or anything like that. He shot really well, got some extra minutes in the first half. I think he's fine, but he's not, a priority or anything.
Deep dive later today.
Yep.
Deeper dive, 4:45 start with the boss man, Alex Baker, as well. Guys, keep your eyes peeled for the news throughout the day. Follow at Osimo NBA so you don't miss any details. Make sure you're getting into our Discord if you can, if you are a premium sub. Good luck tonight, everybody. Enjoy yourselves. Once again, shout out to Prize Picks for being the presenting sponsor of this one. We've got the NFL Strategy Show Ownership Edition coming up next. Talk to you later, everybody.